If you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, three passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7 will be our first chapter. Luke chapter 6, we will go there, an important verse there that we need to see. And then also Ephesians chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 6. And Ephesians chapter number 2. Want to put a plug in for the service tonight. Tonight's service, I will be preaching on building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's a message that will be to the believer, a message that will teach us how to grow and develop our lives upon the person of Christ. It's a powerful passage there in 1 Peter that we'll be visiting. So I would encourage you, if you can, to be back on our Sunday night service. Our text today, as put in the bulletin, is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. You might notice, if you have a red-lettered edition Bible, that these are the last four verses that are in the red letters for the chapters of 5, 6, and 7. These will be the final verses that the Lord Jesus will preach in His great Sermon on the Mount. The greatest message ever preached by the greatest preacher to ever preach is the Sermon on the Mount. We have spent numerous weeks studying this sermon as we make our way through the book of Matthew. Next Sunday, I will preach verses 28 and 29 on the authority of Jesus Christ, the sole preeminent authority that He is upon the earth. He has always been and He will always be. The preeminent authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm excited to get to those two verses next Sunday, but we will finish up the sermon today. You might notice in verse number 24 that the very first word of the sermon is the word therefore. Anytime as you study the Word of God, you see the words wherefore and therefore. Those are platform words. Those are words that spring you back to the context of that moment. Those are words where there's a culmination or a summary truth that is about to be given, but it is of necessity that you understand the verses prior to that. It's the setup. It's the actual application. It's the primary thought being developed as the Lord Jesus is preaching it. And that's true throughout the whole Bible. And so we come to verse 24, and Jesus gives His last therefore in this verse. Now, I need to kind of give you a little bit of context so you understand the meat of our text today. Jesus has begun His earthly ministry. We know that. John the Baptist has prepared the way. Jesus has come and is preaching to the people repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus has been preaching to it. He started with His disciples and moving now into a multitude as it has gathered there. You will look at verse chapter 8, verse number 1. It says that when He came down, great multitudes were following Him. So it's not just the 12 that He's preaching to anymore or teaching. There's a crowd there. And Jesus began in chapter 5 preaching about the kingdom of God. He is instructing them about the true kingdom of God that He had come at that time to set up. It was not the literal millennial kingdom that had been prophesied and that they were looking for. This was a kingdom that was going to take place in their heart. Jesus came to preach to them their need for the kingdom of God to be within them. They were looking something without, but he was coming looking at the inside of them. And so at first, they were all excited about having their part in the kingdom of God. The problem was they were looking for and wanting to participate in a kingdom of God without the king. And my friend, you cannot have the kingdom of God without King Jesus. And so when Jesus came and was preaching to them their need to enter the kingdom of God, their need for righteousness, they were offended. The whole time he is instructing them about the righteousness of the kingdom, he is exposing and annihilating human righteousness. No man or woman that has ever been born from their mother was born with kingdom righteousness. We like to think that, but we were not. And so as Jesus was preaching to them about the kingdom, he's exposing their lack of righteousness. And when that began to click in the Pharisaical mindset especially, they began to burr at that. They didn't like that. They did not want to be told that they lacked righteousness. Now, if you remember, the common person was hearing the Lord Jesus preach about the kingdom of God. And in the midst of that message, Jesus looked at these folks and said, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God." These folks here that were common looked at the Pharisaical group as the epitome of righteousness. They longed to be as righteous as these folks. These folks were outwardly righteous. These folks made this great presentation of religion. They walked around like they walked on air. They walked around in this pride and arrogance of spiritual religion. Have you ever met anybody that acts like that? If anybody acts like that, it's normally they're a fake. And so what happened was, when Jesus said, "Except your righteousness exceed their righteousness, you won't enter the kingdom of God," it terrified these people and it angered these people. This mindset was, "Well, then we'll never be righteous." This mindset was, "How dare you say we're not righteous enough?" And so as Jesus is instructing the true righteousness, he is annihilating and exposing self-righteousness and the righteousness of man to be not up to the standard or measurable at all. So he's doing two things at one time. And then after he had done that and preached to them the righteousness of the kingdom and instructed and exposed, he began to draw the net in verse number 13. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in," Jesus said, "at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." All right, so he's putting a responsibility on the people. And the responsibility on the people was, you need to place yourself inside the righteousness of the kingdom. He's telling them to be saved. He's telling them to be born again. He's teaching them that you are on the broad road and you need to be on the narrow road. You've heard about all the righteousness of the kingdom. I have exposed the inability of humanity to meet that righteousness. There's no way you can live in, dwell in, participate in, and obey the kingdom of God without possessing the King. And so I'm calling you to your responsibility to get off of the broad road and get on to the narrow road. Now, we live in a society today that really hates this truth. And we live in a society today that the reason most people don't want to be saved is because they don't want to be lost. You know, it's not hard to teach people how to be saved. It's hard to teach people that they're lost. Pastor, what do you mean lost? That we're unrighteous. See, we have an independent mindset in our world today. I'm finding nobody wants to be a Democrat anymore. Amen. And nobody wants to be a Republican anymore. Amen. Everybody wants to be an independent. And we have this mindset that I will make up my own mind. You will not tell me what to do. I will do what I deem best when I deem it, and you're not going to influence me. It's my decision. It's my body. By the way, no, it's not. God created you. It's my life. No, it's not. God gave you life. It's my decision. No, my friend. Jesus said, Man is born on the broad way. Man needs to be on the narrow way. We kind of think that I'm independent in my life and I'm going to choose which religion I want. I'm going to choose which way I want to go to have salvation. I want to choose which way I'm going to organize my life. I don't want to be what my parents were. I'm going to find my own church. I'm going to find my own religion. It's like I'm an independent person, and somewhere in my life, I'm going to decide which religious road I'm going to go down. Understand, that is not true. Every man and every woman born in this room, we were born in the image of Adam. We were born sinners. Which means, when you were born on the broad road. You didn't choose the broad road, although you're guilty of what's on the broad road. And Jesus is preaching and teaching people that are listening to the kingdom, and they don't understand that they're on this broad road that's leading to destruction, and they got to be on this narrow road. And so the narrow road is not just them doing better. The narrow road was them being saved. The narrow road was them being born again. The narrow road was them trusting Christ as their Savior. And so he's preaching to them about the need to do that. He goes on in verse number 15 to tell them to beware of false prophets. These are men and women that will come into the church. They will come in as wolves. They look like sheep. But they're going to come in, they're going to preach a different gospel, they're going to preach things that aren't true about the Bible, things that aren't true about salvation. And Jesus says, they're going to look like you, sing like you, preach like you, teach like you, deacon like you do, nursery like you do, parking lot like you do, church member like you do, pew setter like you do, giver like you are, but they're not true people. And you say, well, Pastor, if there's an infiltration there of that, how will we recognize them? Jesus said, you're going to recognize them by their fruit, by the manner of their life. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ is in your heart, he changes your life. And Jesus said in verse number 21, now he's drawing the net. Now understand, please understand the context. Common people listening, intently listening. Pharisaical people listening but angry. Jesus is instructing them in the true righteousness of the kingdom that's been perverted over there, and he is annihilating human goodness here. And so as he is teaching, he looks to these people after he said, get off the broad road and get on the narrow road. The only way you're going to do that is through Jesus Christ. He's the door. He says, by the way, beware of false prophets. They're everywhere. They're going to come into the church and they're going to tell you it's okay to be on the broad road. But I'm telling you, you need to be on the narrow road. The broad road's filled with people. There's many there. Few that find the narrow road. They're going to come in and they're going to say things about me and my Bible that aren't true. They're going to say things about me and my gospel that aren't true. And they're going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy, but it's not true. Beware of false prophets. Do you understand that? Say amen. Then he says, would you please understand that not everyone that says they're a Christian is a Christian. Somewhere in our churches, we lost that truth. We just think if you say with your mouth you're a Christian, then you must be a Christian. And so Jesus says, look at verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never, what class? Knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now please, don't lose the context. He is preaching about the kingdom of God. He is instructing them as to the righteousness of that kingdom. He is instructing them that they need to be like Nicodemus, born again to enter the kingdom of God. He is instructing them that without the king, you will never be in the kingdom of God. You've got a group of people over here who despised Jesus, hated him. How dare you, son of a carpenter, tell me that my righteousness isn't good enough? How dare you tell me? I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm going into the kingdom. And Jesus said, no, you misunderstood. It's not where you were born. It's not your origin. It's not your church membership. It's not your goodness. It's not your money. None of that gets you into the kingdom of God. Only the king gets you into the kingdom of God. And he's teaching and he's exposing. Then he says over here, not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. Understand that. Many people are going to stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, profession of faith. Did we not do many things to their words? And Jesus says, I'm going to look at them and I'm going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Am I the only one that thinks that would be a horrible statement? Then you come to verse number 24. And the Bible says, therefore. Now, after all of that, Jesus is getting ready to give an example. In order for you to fully understand this example, you need to go to Luke chapter 6. Hold your hand in Matthew 7. We're coming back, but come back to Luke chapter 6. He makes a point that is fascinating in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, you have Luke recording this sermon. You have Luke recording, and Jesus is preaching the same things here. Verse number 20, he begins with his, blessed be the poor. We understand he taught some of that in the Sermon on the Mount. There are snippets here. Blessed are ye that hunger, in verse 21. He talks about blessing those that are persecuted and rejoicing in verse 23. Verse number 27, he talks about loving your enemies. Verse 30 talks about giving. We talked about that as a good father gives. Verse 35, he talks about loving your enemies. Verse 37, he talks about judging not. In verse 38, he's talking about giving. Verse 40, 41, 42, it's the same example of casting out the mote in your eye before you judge another. Verse 43 is the same illustration about that good tree bringeth not forth good fruit. I preached about that 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. All right. And so look at Pastor. Look at me. He's instructing them on the merits of the kingdom. And then you come to verse number 46. And Jesus now is exposing, and he says this, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do what, class? And do what, class? And do not the things which I say. What a statement. Jesus says, many, many, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, I'll say I never knew you. And then he's preaching to him and he says, why would you call me Lord and not do what I say? I submit to you that that's a good description of our society today. Everybody wants to say they're a Christian, but nobody wants to do Christ-like things. And everybody wants us to take their word for it. And the last thing Jesus will take from you is your word. The Bible says, every man is a liar, let God be true. So we've got all these people with their words, they want to declare that they're a Christian. But Jesus said, you keep saying, Lord, Lord, but you're having affairs. You keep saying, Lord, Lord, but you're in pornography as deep as your neck. You keep saying, Lord, Lord, but you hate your brother. You keep saying, Lord, Lord, but you don't give a dime. You keep saying, Lord, Lord, but you don't read, you don't pray. You keep saying, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. And so Jesus says, does that even make sense? By the way, the Bible does make sense. All these people are going to stand up one day and say, but Lord, I never knew you. And you never knew me because you didn't do what I said. Now that's the background of where he's headed. He's after that thought. Go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Remember, these are the concluding remarks of his message. He is drawing the final net right here. Therefore, verse 24, Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what class? Doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now you've heard this before. Which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, what class? Shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and finish that phrase, and great was the what? The fall of it. So Jesus is giving an example here. And the example really deals with two foundations. That's the title of the message. But it really deals with two philosophies and two men. And Jesus says, there's a wise man and there's a foolish man. And their wisdom and their foolishness is really evidenced in their decision of where to build their house. He says there's a wise man that both men want to build their house at the same time or build their house in the neighborhood there. And so the one man, he understands, he sees his house. This man sees his house. They've got architectural drawings. They can see what it's going to look out above the ground. But this man, one man, is interested in what's below the ground. And the man that's interested in what's below the ground understands that if you're going to have a house that's going to be secure, it's got to be on a good foundation. And so this man takes the time, Luke says, to dig deep down to the rock and to begin to build his house. This other man over here, all he wants is he wants his house and he wants it now. Does that sound like a generation we live in? All he wants is the big and the beautiful and the ease. And so he's just really interested in what's above the ground. He's not interested in what's below the ground. He's interested in living in a palatial house. He's interested in having a home. He's interested in that kind of thing. But he doesn't want to take the time, and he's negligent of where he's going to build. So he just, the Bible says in Luke, just finds a piece of earth and begins to build his house. Now, if you're going to build a house without a foundation and you're just going to build it on the earth, it's going to go up faster. So I can just imagine this man is building his house. He's looking over at his neighbor's house, and his neighbor's taking a long time. And his neighbor, and he's probably thinking, what is that guy doing? That's ridiculous. He's slow. He doesn't know. And I'm sure that this house gets built a lot quicker than the other house. And knowing what Jesus is trying to teach here, especially in illuminating, exposing the Pharisee, I'm sure when this man finished his house, that man probably sat down and began to look at the man taking his time down his long sneered nose. And sneering and making fun of him and being critical of him and being dispirited at him and being angry at him and malicious at him and all of that. And Jesus says, these two men are building their house. By the way, I think that's how the world looks at us Christians today. They look at us with sneer. Let me tell you something. It better matter to you more what Jesus looks at you than what the world looks at you. And so you got two homes, and Jesus says, but storms are coming. And when the storm comes, both houses get put underneath the storm. The one house is strong and secure. It's stable. It's got a good foundation. The other house gets annihilated. And great is the fall of it. Do you understand the example? Jesus said this man was wise. This man was what class? Foolish. Okay, now when you take the example and you go back into the context of what Jesus is teaching here, he look at verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Jesus is likening a man who hears the statements and does the work to a wise man. But the guy who heareth the statements but doesn't do, he's likening him to a foolish man. It's the same way you would look and say, that guy was foolish to build his house upon the earth and not to build it with a foundation. Now let's make our application. Jesus is saying, I have been preaching to you about the kingdom of God. I have been preaching to you about the characteristics. I have been preaching to you about the incentive. I've been preaching to you about the blessing. I've been preaching to you about the righteousness of this kingdom. I have shown you that the righteousness of God's kingdom is totally not possible unless you have the King. You cannot love your enemy. You cannot give the way you need to give. You cannot be not judgmental in your hypocritical in your judgment without that. All of these things I'm instructing you to do, the human nature cannot do. It must take God in you to do this. And so he's teaching him this. He says, and I've preached to you now that you've heard all of this. You know, you've heard you've got to get from the broad road to the narrow road. I've warned you about false teachers. Now I'm telling you, you have a responsibility to either be wise or to be foolish. And the wisdom is, who's our foundation? Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 2. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. I appreciate hearing the Bible pages churn. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the, what's that word, class? The foundation of the apostles and prophets, and say his name, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building, that's the church, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, the foundation of a house that is going to be secure is Jesus Christ. And God's people said. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Come on, I'm almost done. Luke chapter 6, pick up at verse 46. Bible says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that, what are those three words? Without a foundation, built an house upon the what, class? Against which did the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Here is the mindset that Jesus is after. Jesus is after the mindset that heard everything he said and even gave mental assent and agreement. Heard the saying, heard the teaching, even found some agreement with it, but they never did anything about it. We've got people that are filled in our church world today that they hear the gospel, they appreciate the gospel. They would even say they love the Lord. They would even preach messages. They would sing in the choir. They would do all these kind of things. They would have some affinity. They would give. They're even church members. They have heard the sayings of Jesus, but they've never done any of them. Well, Pastor, are you teaching salvation by works? Absolutely not. Nobody is saved by working or the deeds of the law. Amen? But when you go back to Matthew chapter 5, the evidence that I have heard is that I do. And when you come into the Beatitudes, that Beatitude starts in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It begins with an understanding of my need to be born again. You see, people want the kingdom, but they don't want the king. They want to think righteousness, but they don't ever want to see themselves as unrighteous. They enjoy religion, but they don't have a relationship. That's why Jesus said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And so we're religious, but man, we got all this evil fruit all around us, and we're trying to hide it everywhere so nobody sees it. And we put on our suit, and we come to church, and we're like this, and we're hearing the sayings, and we're kind of doing this number in our worship, but we've never been honest when being born again. There's no foundation to our life. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, man, He changes your life. And see, both of these men, they built lives. And they built what a home stood for. But one man dealt down and built upon the rock. And another man built upon the earth. Do you know you can build a structure upon the earth? You don't have to dig down and build, find a foundation. You can build a structure upon the earth, and that structure will last for a little while. When the Bible uses the word earth, it's talking about things under the sun. Solomon said it that way. People are building their lives, their spiritual lives, all over the place on things of the earth. They think just because they're a member of the church that they've got a house that's going to last forever. They're building their house upon church membership or doing good, or they've never murdered anybody, or they've never had an affair, or they've never done this, or they've never... And they're building their house on some profession that, yeah, I believe there's a God, there's a big man, I believe Jesus did this, I know He died, He did all this. And we're building our houses on the earth, and we're not digging down to the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus has two homes here, and what's going to tell the sign? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, a storm's coming. Storm is brewing, He said, and when the storm comes, it's going to come vehemently. Now, we understand what storms do coming off that African coast. They come across that ocean and they build up. And when they hit us with vehemence. Amen? Well, I got news for you. There's a storm coming. And it's the storm of death. All of us are going to face it. And my friend, you can build your house and you can build your legacy. You can build your security. You can build whatever you want on things on the earth. But when the storm comes, it is going to be revealed whether or not you have a foundation in Jesus Christ. I got news for you. When death comes to get me, it may take my life, but in my life right away, but it will not end me. I will get a new body. My foundation is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when death comes, it'll be a storm, but I will stand forever in Him. And Jesus says, I got people, you're hearing me, but you're not doing it. I'm not telling you to go out and work and do good so you can be. I'm telling you to be born again. I'm telling you to be on the foundation of Christ. You're building your life on the earth. And you've got this big, massive life and security, and you've got everything there, and you feel good, but a storm is coming. And you better have that foundation upon Jesus Christ. You better be born again. Amen? Now, some people want to use this passage to teach that God's going to figure it all out in the end and you have no responsibility. We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. And that's not true. It is your responsibility to make sure you're saved. It is your responsibility to get off the broad road onto the narrow road. Those two men bought a piece of ground. Those two men knew what they were doing. Those two men understood. One understood he was neglectful. One understood what he was doing. One found the foundation. The other one ignored it. But Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man. Every person in this room can be saved if they want to be. That's what he's doing. He's teaching these guys. I'm instructing the kingdom. I'm exposing you. You're going to be wise. You're going to be foolish. You're going to build up this big house without me, or you're going to build it upon me. If you build it upon me, I will last. Let me tell you something. Not only is Jesus Christ the foundation for our heaven, but he's also a foundation for the needs of our lives now. I mean, you know, some of you have hurricane shutters. We lived in a home that didn't have hurricane shutters. And when the storm came, we didn't want to stay in our house. We looked for a safer house to be in. Some of you, you got cool shutters. You just hit a button, zoom, zoom. You're locked in. You didn't invite the pastor to wait it out with you. You just locked yourself in, and I got no storm shutters or nothing. You know, it makes no sense for you to have 3 weeks of food, a brand new roof, the best storm shutters money can buy, and you come into a hurricane and you sit in the middle of your living room nervous out of your mind. Let me tell you something. If you've got all that, you're going to make it through a storm. But some of God's people, we have the foundation of Jesus Christ. And he is going to get us through the greatest storm of our life that will transfer us from this life to him. That is death. Then why in the world, if he's got eternity secured, why are we worried about the little storms? He's a great shelter in the time of storm. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock when the storm came. But if you hear the sayings and you're never born again, I liken you to a fool because there's a storm coming. And when the house falls, great will be the fall of it. Great will be the fall of it. And God's people say, shall we pray?